Well, hey, and welcome to the Gawler Uniting Church podcast. I'm Josh Shearer, the lead pastor for our church. I hope this message encourages you and builds your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If we can help you in any way, please reach out at hello@gawleruniting.org.au. Enjoy the message.
Bible reading today is taken from the NIV, John 9, verse 24 to 34. A second time they summoned the man who had been blind. "Give glory to God by telling the truth," they said. "We know this man is a sinner." He replied, "Whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know." Then they asked him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered, "I have told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too?" Then they hurled insults at him and said, "You are this fellow's disciple. We are the disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses. But as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from." And the man answered, "Now that's remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly person who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." To this they replied, "You were steeped in sin at his birth. How dare you lecture us?" And they threw him out. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, welcome everyone to today's service. And my name's Wayne, and I'm preaching the message today from the excellent passage that Hesse just read. Can we start with prayer? Lord, we praise you and thank you that we can join here today to worship you and praise you, to hear your word. Lord, I ask that the words that I would speak would be taken by your Spirit and transformed so that you might understand them clearly. In Jesus' name, amen. So today we continue looking at the book of John, and specifically this passage about the man who was born blind. This is a long passage, and Josh has preached a couple of messages on the first part of the passage. They're on YouTube if you wish to recap on those messages. An excellent way of recapping of what's happened. Last week was on an interesting topic of confirmation bias, blind spots, really interesting. So here we are looking at the final conversation between the man who was born blind and the Pharisees. They brought him back to grill him for the second time about what happened and how his sight was restored. These were really strange times for the Jewish people. They're under Roman rule, and the Romans had installed a puppet ruler over to oversee the people. Then there were the religious leaders who were also trying to control the people. But in the midst of all this, the blind man's life was going on. As you're aware, we're living in strange times at the moment as well. But our lives go on. This was clearly shown to us on the 27th of April when we welcomed a new baby into our family. This is a photo of him on that day one, on the 27th of April. Josh and Sammy had now had Benjamin at home for almost 4 weeks. He's absolutely wonderful and beautiful. Grandparents are allowed to boast like that. We've seen him on many occasions, and now, after vigorously washing our hands, we've touched him. We touched his beautiful soft skin and felt his tiny fingers. We've heard his newborn cry. Simply amazing. Brings back precious memories of our boys. God has blessed us with some incredible, amazing senses that enable us to experience the world around us. All senses are so important, and the man has, in the reading today, has never been able to see. He would have missed so much. He had no concept of sight or what the world would have looked like. And then Jesus gave him his precious gift of sight. an amazing gift was given. I want you to think for a moment of how this man would have felt. His life was transformed and his circumstances totally changed. Firstly, I imagine he couldn't stop talking about what happened. I can see, I can see, I can see. Feelings and thoughts of amazement, gratitude, wonder, renewal, restoration, the start of a new life. For all my life, I've had poor eyesight. It's been so frustrating and debilitating. But at least I could see, even though it was blurred. Yes, glasses have changed that, but I still struggle, especially as I've aged. I'm now forced to take off my glasses to see the fine details. My poor eyesight was picked up in grade 7. We were given an eye test before going to high school. You know the type. Letters decreasing in size. Obviously my eyesight wasn't that good. I failed the test miserably. I could barely make out even the largest letters. Soon afterwards I found myself at the optometrist. You guessed it. Black rim glasses were the go back then in the early 60s. Every year since that date, I visited the optometrist to have my checkup and to fine-tune my prescription. Optometrists study for many years before they can practice. And when you go into their rooms, there's normally a certificate to show that they are credentialed. Credentialing is the process of establishing the qualifications and assessing their background and legitimacy. It's important and reassuring, but the full proof of them being an optometrist is when you put on those new prescription glasses and you see clearly. There's no distortion in your sight. It's almost normalized as a result of what the optometrist did. So the theme outlined in the preaching roster around this reading is not a statement as usual, but a question. It's a really important question that we should ask ourselves. And the question is Jesus from God? And to answer that question, I want to use the concept of Jesus' credentials as well as what Jesus did. So we go back to the reading again. Here we see another confrontation between the man who had his sight restored by Jesus and the Pharisees who denied Jesus. They disregard who Jesus is, and especially what he did and who sent him. The Pharisees stated, "We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses. But as for this fellow," speaking about Jesus, "we don't even know where he comes from." They were so set in their ways that they were not willing even to listen to the possibility that this Jesus was sent from God to do God's work. They were blind to what he was teaching, what he was saying, and what he was doing. He was someone that just didn't fit into their mould, and they couldn't accept him. Which brings me to my first point, Jesus' credentials. That is assessing his background and legitimacy, showing that he has been sent by God to be the Messiah, the Saviour of the world. So firstly, Jesus' genealogy. When we look in Matthew 1, it traces Jesus' family tree back to King David and even further back to Abraham. Jesus was in the legal line of royal ascent. Jesus was in the line of being a king. God let people know about the one that he would send. In fact, 700 years before Jesus' birth, there was a prophet called Micah. He foretold that the Messiah would be born in the town of Bethlehem. Even when the three wise men who were from the east were told that there would be a king. The Magi or the wise men knew that the birth of Jesus was coming and they travelled to find him. They went to Herod to ask him, "Where is this king?" Herod had his chief priests and scribes investigate. And they came up that the king of the Jews would be born in Bethlehem. As I was researching this, I asked myself the question, if Herod asked the chief priests and scribes to look at this, Why did they not want to find their Messiah themselves? Why didn't they want to go and see this magnificent birth? They knew the scriptures but failed to follow them. Again, we see here that they did not want the status quo changed. They had a blind spot that God might send the chosen one to earth in their generation. Often we miss out on what God wants because we're afraid of how change might affect us. Sometimes God shakes us and forces us to ask questions. Then there is chapter 52 and 53 in the book of Isaiah. Here Isaiah gives a prophecy that is foretelling who God will send and what he will do. We see the fulfillment of these promises through Jesus as they occur in the New Testament passages. Isaiah tells us the Messiah will be exalted, will be disfigured by suffering, will be widely rejected, will bear our sins and sorrows, will make a blood atonement, will voluntarily accept our guilt and punishment for sin without opening his mouth like a lamb led to the slaughter. He will be our substitute, will bear the sins of many for the sake of their salvation, will die with transgressors, will be buried in a rich man's tomb. Amazingly, 750 years later, the accuracy of these statements are fulfilled by Jesus. Jesus is the Messiah, the one sent by God. Then in Matthew 17, we hear Peter and James and John going up a mountain with Jesus. While they were there, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." God is declaring that Jesus is his Son. But for me, the most compelling legitimacy to the question, "Is Jesus from God?" is found in the words of John the Baptist. He introduces Jesus in person. He meets Jesus. In John 1:34 in the King James, it says, "And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God." So not only has Jesus been sent by God, but that Jesus is the Son of God. In Matthew 10, Jesus himself declares that he's been sent by the Father. Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Jesus was sent by God. So Jesus' credentials are there for everyone to read, but to complete the understanding of who sent Jesus, we need to look at his actions. We find out what Jesus was sent to do in Luke 4:16-21, where we hear, "So he came to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book from the prophet Isaiah. And when he opened the book, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive, and receive the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord.' Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, 'Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing.'" Jesus is announcing who he is and that he was sent. Throughout the first four books of the New Testament, we see Jesus in action. Jesus worked many miracles. These miracles are beyond what the natural world can explain. So how could Jesus be active in these areas? Jesus was a man, yes, but he's also sent by God and is the Son of God and has dominion over nature. His power is evident And this proves that Jesus was who he said he was. People just saw Jesus in action, walking on water, calming storms, feeding the 5,000 people, raising the dead, healing, and in our reading today, restoring sight to the blind. The list goes on. Just as in the Old Testament where God was seen in action, in the New Testament we see Jesus at work. And now the Holy Spirit is the power aspect of God, is at work in us as believers. The ultimate proof for the blind man that Jesus was from God was that now he could see. In verse 30 to 33 in the Message we read, the man replied, "This is amazing. You claim to know nothing about him, but in fact, he opened my eyes. It's well known that God isn't at the beck and call of sinners, but listens carefully to anyone who lives in reverence and does his will." That someone opened the eyes of a man born blind has never been heard of, ever. If this man didn't come from God, he wouldn't be able to do anything. This man clearly declares that Jesus was sent by God because of the action that he did. I trust this message has shed some light into the question, is Jesus from God? For me, there is overwhelming proof that Jesus was sent by God. I came to this realization in my late teens. But why was he sent? Simply to put a human face to who our amazing God is. To give us a way to come back into relationship with our Creator God. And to be aware of how much God loves each one of us. How much he loves you. How much he loves me. So where do we sit in all of this? Perhaps you've known for many years that God sent Jesus and that he is the Saviour of the world. It's always good to remind ourselves of this, to allow us to strengthen our faith, but to go further knowing that this same Jesus now sits at the right hand of our Heavenly Father. Amazingly awesome. Can you imagine? One day we'll see him. Perhaps you're beginning on your journey of faith. It's important to know the background of why we believe what we do, to be encouraged, to delve deeper into the wealth of information that's contained within our Bible. This information confirms who our awesome God is. Finally, and most importantly, you may be new to your faith or a journey in your faith. I encourage you to think about who Jesus is and to allow your faith to rise in you. The world around us has a confirmation bias against the thoughts that we need a saviour. There is a blind spot in our understanding of us as sinners and that there is the need to be set free from sin. It's all about you, but it's not. Jesus was sent by God to come into the world to do exactly that. As it said in Isaiah, that Jesus will voluntarily accept our guilt and punishment for sin. He will be our substitute and will bear the sins of many for the sake of their salvation. So just as the blind man received his physical sight restored through Jesus and his life was transformed, so too can your life be renewed, restored and transformed by accepting that Jesus is Lord and Saviour. Please contact us if you want to discuss this further. Let's pray. Father, we praise you and thank you for your message. Lord, your message of hope and love. Lord, your message of peace. Lord, I ask that this message would speak to people, would encourage people. Lord, I thank you for today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, I hope you enjoyed the message. And if you want to connect with us further, you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/Gawler Uniting Church. Thanks and see you next time.